Another day, another guest. If you're a woman juggling work, home, spiritual life, and wrestling with questions like, why am I working so hard and still so unfulfilled? This conversation is for you. Michelle Myers is the founder of She Works His Way, a nonprofit organization for working women, the creator of Network Marketing Nobility, and the She Works His Way business tracker. Michelle helps working women aim to do work that matters instead of simply getting things done. Most recently, she co-authored a book with her best friend, Summer Phoebus, called She Works His Way, a practical guide for doing what matters most in a get-things-done world, and I really hope you read it. She and her husband, James, live in Asheville, North Carolina, and their three children, Noah, Cole, and Shay, are the loves of her life. In light of Holy Week, please help me welcome Michelle to the show for a very thoughtful conversation.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Purpose podcast. I'm Austin, a marketing and PR gal and small business owner, passionate about enabling purpose-driven businesses to be seen and heard through my purpose-giving gifts. If you're an entrepreneur, marketing leader, or work-from-home boss lady that's tired of crafting campaigns and pitching stories that feel purposeless and in need of a reminder of who you were purposely created to market for, you're in the right place. Inside this podcast, you'll find basic integrated marketing and PR tips that break through the darkness, thoughtful plans to help you launch and sustain your purpose-filled thing, encouragement in helping you live by your values in and outside your workplace, and much more. So friend, if you're ready to drive more light into this world by simply marketing your purpose, turn up the volume, grab your coffee, and let's dig in.
Are you a seasoned Marketing Your Purpose podcast listener? If you've been around since our launch, thank you. If you're just finding us now, welcome. My goal with each episode of this podcast is to leave you with practical marketing, PR, busy life tips that encourage and inspire you in marketing your purpose. If you've been following along since day one, my guess is this podcast is doing just that. And as a minor thank you for the time it takes to produce each episode, I would be so grateful if you left a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you tune in and listen, sharing how this podcast has impacted your life or purpose thus far. Every additional review helps more people find out about this podcast and encourages them to market their purpose. Now on to the episode.
This is such a big day. I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. I am going to share just a little bit about you and welcome you here. You are so welcome on the Marketing Your Purpose podcast. And I've talked about you before. So again, most of our listeners will hopefully have heard of you already, but I just want to say you have been very pivotal in my own journey. Your book, The She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World, was a game changer for me, for just the trajectory of my career path, just my mindset on a day-to-day basis. So, this book I have talked about specifically. So obviously you have this ministry, She Works His Way, that I would love for you to share a little bit more about. But in general, very much the way that you have talked about living through our values and combating what culture says. I think that was what was so helpful to me when I came across this book, was I was leaving my corporate job, not knowing exactly what I was going to do next, but knowing that I was convicted to leave and trying to wrestle with what the world is saying to me, but pushing back and saying, you know what? This is what God says about me, and really coming back to finding my personal true identity again. And that was really what that time period, that season was about, was going back to that versus what is my next career move? What is my next job move? So that was just a really foundational piece to kicking this podcast off, to starting Pullman Parcel back up. So I just want to say thank you for all that. Thank you for being here, and just to share your wisdom again about your ministry. And yes, we have some reminders to share with our listeners today too.
Yeah.
So welcome to the podcast, and please tell us a little bit about you. And
goodness. Okay. Well, praise the Lord for what he has done in your life. That is incredible. And I'm humbled that I even get to be like a tiny piece of what he's doing here. So I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and I have been married to my husband, James. We are coming up on 16 years in about 2 months, and we have three kids. My oldest, Noah, is in his first year of middle school. My middle son just turned 10, and I have a daughter who is 7, going on like 25, just in terms of the way that her brain works. She is hilarious. And I love having two boys and a girl. I think I grew up babysitting boys, and I think I gravitated toward, like, I just thought I was going to be a boy mom. And Shay has rocked my world in the best way. And it's always such a reminder that what we think we want, we really don't know. Because, God can, when He gives us what we need. And I've just learned, even in something like my family, that I want what He knows I need, not necessarily what I want. So I have been part of a ministry called She Works His Way for 10 years. It started as four friends on Google Hangout at 5 o'clock in the morning, because with different time zones and different jobs, that was the only time that, imagine, shocker, none of us had a conflict at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so we just got on and we started asking each other these tough questions, because despite the differences in our career and even like our season of life, we recognized that the culture was just loud and we couldn't escape from it. That was kind of in the rise of the smartphone era. And so the same cultural lies and half-truths that we were experiencing at work were starting to show up in our social media feeds. And it was just like, okay, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And I also just need some accountability, and I need some people in my corner that I can ask these tough questions to, that will ask me tough questions to just keep us centered and grounded. We always say, like, it's almost like we just straighten each other's shoulders and aim each other back at Jesus when we find one another getting distracted. And so that opened up for us to realize that more women needed to be a part of the conversation. And so it was loving bullying. But as the writer of the group, they told me, they were like, why don't you just start an Instagram? We were all kind of in business, and Instagram at that time was, just kind of the thing. And so we started a new Instagram account. I say we because even though I was the one that created the account, I really was just kind of recounting our conversations and the things that we were talking about. And it grew faster than any other account that I've ever had. And I, being in business, I've grown, or at least had, probably 5 to 6 Instagram accounts over the course of my online and marketing career. And it just proved to me that women were hungry for this conversation, because it's not like I all of a sudden became a master marketer. I did not, I wasn't any different in that account that I was in any of the other ones. It just was a need that, and a conversation that women wanted to have. And women guiding the conversation, the women that God has gathered to this community, has kind of continued to be the pulse for which our ministry moves. And we've had multiple kind of strands throughout what our history of ministry has looked like, but it's always been, okay, who are the women that God has gathered here? What do they need? What conversations do they need to have? And how can we have those conversations and equip them to have conversations like this in their real life? And so I have just been in awe of what God has done. And I can honestly say that if you had asked me what I even thought She Works His Way would look like when I first started 10 years down the road, which is where we are, we're a decade in, this would have not even been on my radar. And that's just the sign of Ephesians 3:20 being true, that God really can do more than we can ask or imagine. And I like to think of myself as a pretty ambitious person, but God and His goodness, like His, He just supersedes our ambitions and our thoughts and our plans. And so It's been really fun, but the two main ways that we exist, we have a podcast, and within that, we have a Patreon community where it allows us just kind of go a little bit deeper in conversation. And then we also create resources for the local church and for women who are wanting to have those gospel centered conversations. You mentioned one of them being the She Works This Way book. We also write commentaries, which sounds like a big, scary theology word, but really it's just a verse by verse Bible study of remembering that Scripture is God talking to us. And then God calls us to continue the conversation with him in prayer and dialogue with him and in conversations with one another. And so we call them conversational commentaries because that is the basis of it. And so whether you use the commentaries to go through a conversation by yourself with the Lord and you just use it organically, because the reality of it is Bible talks about things that pop up in real life. And so even if you're not part of a formal Bible study, which these work for that as well, but it'll probably be something that the Lord will have maybe a conversation with a coworker where you just can naturally pop in these truths that what we know as believers that the world is hungry for, even if they don't know, because the Bible tells us that God put eternity on each one of our hearts. And so that's why we strive and we seek to be able to think that there's more and there's more and I need more. The difference is until we find him, the more that we are looking for is not more of ourselves or more of what we can do. It is the more that we are incapable of, but is a gift to us, which is what God can do. And so I just love being part of this ministry and love seeing where God is taking it. So it's been a blessing.
It's so beautiful. And I guess I didn't realize it's been around for 10 years because my introduction was in early 2022. So I actually didn't come around the last couple of years. So,
yeah.
And the book was what got me introduced to it. Cause I think I found the book cause I was searching for something. And then I found the Instagram and then I, kind of went down the rabbit hole and figured out what everything was, what kind of resources you all provide. But yeah, so it's cool to hear how long this has been going on. And obviously the need that has, it's still there today, still very present. So like I said, I just really love how you're digging into these really hard conversations and helping remind us of the truth.
Use my favorite word, reminders. Like,
yes,
most of what we really need to know, all of what we really need to know, God has already said. And so it really is like just reminding one another when the world is loud. Because oftentimes it's easy to believe that what is loudest is most important, but what is true is what is most important. And we just need to be reminded.
Yep. That's on point. Totally. So with those reminders, I'm going to dive into that right now because we are going to talk about, because She Works This Way is a lot about what does matter most in this get things done world. And I very much resonate that as personally a driven type A personality that gets sucked into that production obsession in this world to do and do and do. But how, what can we do that matters most in this very driven, achievement oriented world. So I'd love for you to dive into those reminders for us today.
So this is, this is the crux of the She Works His Way book. And when we sat down to write this, so I wrote this with my ministry partner, Summer, and she and I were like, okay, what are the conversations that we have over and over and over again? And that was kind of the beauty of the book coming later after being in the trenches of the work and in conversations with women for so long, is the book did kind of write itself because we were able relatively quickly to be like, okay, these are the biggest pitfalls that we see happening. These are the biggest common mistakes, because I kind of already alluded to this, but a lot of culture's lies, some of them are blatant lies and they're relatively easy to identify. But the other ones, which are the ones that we went into in the book, are the ones that are like twisted half-truths, and the ones that they sound a little bit right, but not quite right, but I can't exactly put my finger on it on why it's not right. And the reality of it is these half-truths, they take something that God has said, and then they just twist it a little bit to make it more about us than it makes it about the Lord. And it is insane how just this innocent little twist can tailspin our life into such a different direction. And so when I thought about, how can we have this conversation in a way that doesn't overwhelm and that really does keep it centered where it needs to be, I boiled it down to three things. But here's the truth. So here's thing number one. Thing number one is keep God first. And when you do this, he orders everything else. And that is not me making that up. That is Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the temptation for us is like, okay, I need God and all the things. And then if you are a control freak type A kind of personality, you're like, and by the way, here's the order in which all of these things go in. And we think that somehow we're helping and that we're doing our due diligence, that we're being a good steward. There's all of these different ways that we spin it to make it sound so noble. But the reality of it is God was like, hey, you keep me first, and I will take care of everything else. And that sounds, even when we say it out loud, and I know that it's true, I'm like, oh, just sounds a little bit irresponsible. But that is me knowing my place and me being confident in God's place. And so I'll tell a true story. So when She Works His Way first got a website, and we created this website of wanting people to know what our mission was, in a attempt to clarify, what we would always say is we were like, hey, we help you keep God first, your family second, and your work third. And while I'm not sitting here saying that that's the wrong order, the reality of it is if you keep God first, those other places and other things that go are going to naturally fall into place without you trying to figure out how you can micromanage your life. And even I didn't realize this, so I'm a big word nerd, and I learned this a couple of months ago. So the word priority has been around for a really long time. The word priorities has only been added in the last couple of decades. And so the idea that you can have a lot of things that are priority in your life is a new concept that we have added. Once upon a time, it was like you have a priority and everything else in your life is ordered around it. And that is a much simpler and a much better way to live. And the reason why we can know that is because it's the way that God told us to live. And so my problem is, I don't stop at three things. Like, if left to my own devices and my own flesh, I'm going to parse out numbers probably 1 to 732. And then my life is going to become this juggling act. Whereas we try to find, we want to make sure that we have like a compartment for God to go. And it's like going to be a really good compartment. It's going to be my first compartment. It's going to be my best compartment. But then I'm trying to manage all of these other areas of my life instead of understanding, rather than God being a compartment of my life or a file folder in my life, God is the file cabinet in which all of the other folders go into. And I can trust Him in every area of my life. I fit him into every area of my life. I bring him into my marriage. I bring him into my parenting. I bring him into my work. I bring him into my interactions with my neighbors. I bring him in to my serving in my local church. I don't have to just do all of these other things that make me feel like I'm either going to get it all right or I'm going to get it all wrong. And so, if you haven't been reminded of this, let me just remind you that you are not awesome enough to get it all right, and you are not powerful enough to get it all wrong. And if you will just surrender every single bit of it and say, Lord, you know better than me. In fact, lordship, which is what believing in Christ is, that is saying, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life now. You are in charge. What you say goes. That very essence is, I surrender everything that I think, everything that I do, everything that I am into everything that you want me to be. And I trust your desires. I trust your leading. I trust your guidance more than I trust myself, my own desires, my own will, my own way. And so I just want to encourage you that if you have that kind of personality and you find yourself being like, I just know, like, because what is the word that everybody always says? They're just like, you just need balance in your life. And I hear you, and I don't want to argue over semantics. Your heart in saying that you want a balanced life is probably you saying the same thing, but there is such a difference when you live surrendered versus living balanced. Because when it's balanced, it has this idea of perfection. When it's balanced, it has this idea of everything has to be equal and everything has to be fair. And it doesn't have to be any of those things. It just has to be God's. You just have to be God's. And so, what does it look like for your life for God to be first? That means you ask yourself, what does he want? What does he say? What has he said in his word? What is his mission in the world? And then you order yourself around that and trust that what he is going to lead you in is better than anything that you could imagine on your own.
I'm loving the file cabinet
I
metaphor.
really think that Summer, I think that that was a Summer analogy. She is a big visual learner, and I'm pretty sure that she was the first one to say that. And when she did, I was like, ooh, that's it.
I mean, everything was great, but that one stuck out to me as the versus all it being separate folders and him being one of those folders. No, he is the file cabinet. So I really like that. That's going to be a quote pulled out of here. But yes, thank you for that reminder. And I very much resonate with wanting to have it a list of eight different areas of my life that I'm going to somehow do all very equally. But at the end of the day, it's not going to happen that way. And that's, yeah, the surrender piece of letting go and letting God. Okay, so what's reminder number two?
Okay, reminder number two. So, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? His answer was essentially summarized to love God and to love others. And so, reminder number two is that yes, we are called to love people. But a lot of times we confuse loving people and pleasing people. And so ask God to help you discern the difference because loving people and pleasing people are not the same thing. One keeps you in line with what he has called you to do as a believer. But the reality of it is, loving others is an overflow out of your love for the Lord, because we're not called to love others in our own strength. We're called to love others the way God has loved us. And we are not capable to do that on our own. We need him to do that in us first so that he can do it through us. But pleasing people, when the Apostle Paul actually made the distinction of, I am not here to please people, I please the Lord, I aim to please the Lord. Pleasing people is going to take you down a very slippery slope of idolizing other people's opinions, taking your life in the direction of what you think other people want you to do or what other people tell you that they want to do instead of listening to the voice of God. And so I think some people are naturally a little bit more bent toward pleasing people. And because we are called to be peacemakers, I think a lot of times people take that in, I'm going to try not to ruffle any feathers and I'm going to keep the peace. But there's a difference between keeping peace and making peace. And so this is a really difficult one to explain, but I think it is just something that we have to be aware of, especially when it comes to our prayer life, of making sure that we are praying that God will help us to love people without pleasing people. And so this kind of comes down to the whole idea of it's not bad to be liked. Where it's dangerous is if you like to be liked. That's like kind of starting in a bad, and then it's to need to be liked. That's when you're like, wah, wah, like the sirens start going off at that point. And so know that about yourself, know your bend, and ask the Lord to help you. How do I love this person and not feel like pleasing them is how I love them? Because sometimes loving someone looks like telling them the truth about something that is hurting them, or like it just doesn't always look like that. And so I just want to encourage you to love people with everything that you can without feeling like you're going to be able to please everyone, because the reality of it is you can't. And I feel like that's just going to set you up for disappointment. And so that approval list that you have in your life needs to be real short. It's that audience of one, and trusting that he will help you to love people even if you can't please them in that moment.
Yeah, this is a sticky one. And that's why I feel it's super important to be in some kind of community with other women that speak this type of wisdom into you and with you and go through life with you, processing how to love others well. Because I think, yes, knowing that this is told one time is very, it's a helpful reminder, but it's the walking through it, this life with other people that continue to remind you of that, because I think it's easy to fall back to those tendencies of, okay, how do I respond? Yeah. How do I navigate this relationship?
Yeah. So. You know, I think maybe we do this more naturally in parenthood, like in our mothering, to where we understand how sometimes we can love our kids, but we can't give them everything that they want. And we have to use discernment in that. And so maybe there's a learning curve there for you to, if you know that maybe you do this better in your mothering and your parenting than you do in your other relationships, to ask the Lord to increase your discernment the way that you have it in your home into your other relationships, so that it will be for the benefit of everyone that is around you. I think that was maybe the first time that I noticed it. And I was like, man, if this is true for my kids, then isn't this true in all of my relationships? Not that we parent necessarily one another, but God does use us in one another's lives. And so when you find yourself just in that sticking point, ask the Lord to apply some of the things that he's taught you in motherhood to your other relationships.
Yeah. That's so, I think when I reflect back on my own journey, because I, for sure, people pleasing was a problem I had when I was younger. But now, reflecting on some of this, I'm like, becoming a mom probably started changing some of that, because I was having to learn these skills and motherhood, that I'm like, this certainly can. This discernment, the way that I kind of pause and talk through things now, because I want to parent my children well. It certainly is probably now applying to other relationships. So I never really thought about that, but okay. Number three, I want to dig into that one quickly too.
Okay, number three, follow his rhythm of rest and work. I put rest first, even though that's probably not our natural inclination. We probably think work, but I didn't realize this until a couple of years ago when I was going back to Genesis at the beginning of my Bible reading plan. And then I did a whole lot of research and realized that the Hebrews, they started their day at sunset. And so rather than thinking of their day beginning at sunrise, they thought of the day beginning in the evening with rest. And so I looked at the creation account and it'll tell you everything that God did on day one, and it'll say, and there was night and there was day, and that was day one. And then you go on and it says the same thing for day two. There was night and there was day, or there was evening and there was morning, and that was day two. And so how does it change your mindset on your work when we realize God doesn't have the same limits that we do? He never sleeps. And so he is always working. And so while we go to sleep, trusting that God is still working, and when we wake up in the morning, we join him in the work that he is doing, instead of thinking that God's work in the world wakes like starts when Christians wake up. Like that is not the case. And so how does it change your rhythm of faith and perspective when you realize that your day begins by joining God in the work that he has never stopped, rather than thinking that you need this momentum on your own to keep it going? And so there's like the daily rhythm, and then there is a weekly rhythm that he calls us to have Sabbath. And I know that Sabbath is something that I feel like I'm seeing everywhere, and I'm really grateful for it. Even it's funny, in some secular sources, I'm seeing there's like, hey, there's a lot of research that talks about taking one day off, like what it will do. And so we're just sitting here as Christians, and the rest of the world have been like, yep, been saying that from the beginning. God's been saying that from the beginning. But it is a posture of recognizing, because the question then becomes, for those of us, like, I am not a good rester. I'm getting better. But that was actually, those were words that were written on my kindergarten report card. So, like, this goes deep to where my kindergarten teacher let my parents know, hey, Michelle is not a good rester. And so, I am naturally a doer and a worker. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. The difference is, my pastor just preached on Sabbath, and he said this way, and I've just never thought about it this way, because I feel like you do see a lot right now where people are just encouraging you to slow down. And again, I do not want us to get lost in semantics. But when we look at scripture, scripture actually tells us, hey, 6 days out of the week, like, you work really hard. Like, your work matters. Show up. Do what God has called you to do. He has called you to be part of his work in the world. It looks different for all of us, but we are all participants in his mission. The first commission that he gave us was to subdue the world, to subdue, take care, all the things. So, like, we're actively still a part of that. But it was when you got to Sabbath, it wasn't slow down, it was stop. And so it's go, 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 go. Stop and really take that time to stop. I used to, so you know, we all have a journey with the Lord of how he has shown us different things. And I think that when I first thought of Sabbath, my first rhythm was to realize, like, okay, I'm going to trust God with 1/7 of my productivity. And that's not bad and that's not wrong. But the way that I see Sabbath now is, this is my weekly reminder of what eternity is going to be like. And so we think about, how do we keep this eternal perspective when we're in the midst of the brokenness of the world and the already and the not yet of heaven, like that dual citizenship that we wrestle with. And I think that it is the reality of living one day in a posture of praise and worship and rest, knowing that one day this world will be behind us. Nothing that is overwhelming you right now will overwhelm you in heaven. You will simply be overwhelmed by God and his goodness, and you will get to bask in his glory for eternity. And that's what Sabbath is designed for us to do. to have that weekly reminder. And so if you are a doer, if you are a worker bee, like I get you and I hear you and I want you to do it. Go hard after what God has called you to do. Get after it. Be ambitious for the Lord's work. But stop once a week. And every single day, use it as an opportunity to remind you when you go to bed that God is not going to stop working. And when you wake up in the morning, instead of thinking like it's getting started, you're thanking God for what he has already started and asking him, saying, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready to join you. So this is tough to figure out a rhythm, especially if you have some workaholic tendencies in your life, like I do. It is more natural to me now, but the only reason why it is more natural to me is because I pray about it on a regular basis. People in my life pray for me about it. And I have practiced rest. I see its benefits. And when I stop, what really happens when I stop is I recognize all the things that God is doing. And it makes it so much easier for me to see my place in his world instead of trying to make my way in the world. I just really get to stop. And so he started the rhythm for us of work and rest. And his rhythm looks different than ours, but he set a rhythm for us. And we really will thrive the way that he wants us to when we follow his rhythm. And when we don't, you will not be more productive if you don't follow a Sabbath. You will not be more productive if you sacrifice the sleep that he designed your body to need. You will be most productive when you live the way that he has called us to live.
Ah, so thank you. I love the idea of, in general, just sleep and how there is this, I think also as just a parent, as a mom, that the Sunday can be a day of productivity for getting ahead of the week, of of not just thinking about work as in your 9 to 5 or your business, but even the work we do in our homes. And for me, I've started to try to take a nap or lay down with when my kids are taking their quiet time and nap during that time, because it's so easy to be like, oh, I could get so much done during this time while they're resting. But I feel so called to just rest, to lay down, take a nap if I need a nap. That speaks volumes, because it's something that I wrestle with weekly. I'm like, oh, this is my week, my time to get ahead of the for the week. But knowing that there are a lot of fruits that come from just resting. And I think the view of my kids when they're they know this is nap time for all of us. It's a very sweet moment for us at the end to be like, wasn't that nice? Wasn't that needed? So I think it's a really helpful reminder for all of us just to rest.
And like, give yourself some grace for what this looks like, because for us, so my husband and I are both on staff at our church. And so Sunday is a work day for us. And so for us, Sabbath looks like noon on Friday to noon on Saturday. That's like our 24 hours that we protect. And I will be the first person to tell you that Thursday evenings are really, really packed, trying to make sure because I want laundry to be caught up. I want the house to be clean. Like, I want those things so that we really can. So we work extra on our Thursday evenings to make that Friday to Saturday time really restful. And the whole family, though, comes together. And so let me speak to the moms right now who maybe think that you have to do all of that by yourself. Our kids look forward to the rhythm of Sabbath that we've established as a family. We do some really fun things, because the definition of that is you have one day basically that looks drastically different than the other ones. And so on Sabbath, we dessert first. On Sabbath, we don't touch the laundry. And on, like we have these things. And so it is a family effort to get us ready for that. Because at the end of the week on a Thursday, do my kids want to pitch in and help with laundry? No. But do they want dessert first for dinner on Friday? Yeah, they do. And so there's that motivation and there's that incentive in there for them. And so Sabbath was not meant to be a punishment for you on a day of can'ts. It was meant to be a gift to you as a realization that, like, hey, like, you don't have to today. Normally you have to. That's your normal rhythm. But today, my gift to you, you don't have to. And so take it as that posture of a, I can, but I don't have to, as a gift from the Lord, and extend that kind of into your family rhythm.
Michelle and I could have talked for hours, but of course we had to end the conversation somewhere. I'm so grateful that Michelle came on the show, and I hope you gleaned something from all of it, especially this week. What beautiful reminders to help us do what matters most in a get things done world. Thank you, Michelle, for being here today. If you want more after this episode, go check out sheworkshisway.com/podcast, where you can listen to episodes like this. You can also find all the resources Michelle talked about, including the She Works His Way practical guide at sheworkshisway.com/product/category/books. I highly recommend checking some of them out. Let us know if this podcast encouraged you by popping it over to a friend or giving us a big thumbs up on whatever streaming platform you listen to this on. It's time you go market your purpose, friend. Until next week.